What up, people? Welcome back to the Dugout Podcast. You're here with your boy Ryan Leaf, and thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome back. I appreciate all of you guys being here. Before I even go anywhere, please click subscribe. Please try and just tell people that you know about this podcast. And yeah, thank you for tuning in. Here's my socials. Anyway, we're chatting about Chelsea today, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'm here with Lyle van Wyk. Lyle's a very good friend of mine and a huge Chelsea fan. He's actually on time. Oh, why is he on time? Let me actually admit Lyle right now. What's up, big man?
Okay,
your audio is connected. You're loud and clear.
How's it?
Lyle? Good to have you, my friend. How are you doing? You good?
I'm good, boss. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, man.
Sorry, man. I'm at school. It's some family function, whatnot. But anyway, yeah.
You wouldn't hear my podcast even though you're at school. Yo.
Oh, Mr. Rude, the man gave me invites and whatnot. I must do things.
So, as everything, I know, obviously, it's your debut on my podcast. It's your first time being here. So, tell people about you. It's the first time they've ever seen you.
Oh, hi. I'm a person that loves Chelsea Football Club. Been a supporter since I'm 8 years old. I liked him because his color was blue. That's the only reason why I liked him. And then grow to love them. My longest relationship of something years.
Did I not see your dad wearing... Was that your dad wearing an Arsenal jersey?
Yeah, my dad wearing an Arsenal jersey, yeah.
So how did this happen?
Adversity, right to life. I mean, you deal with this guy every day. I mean, you know. But yeah, you said choose a color. I'd like blue, and then Di Matteo scored a goal in the FA Cup. Took 14 seconds to score a goal. That was in 1997, I think.
What's the banter like in the house? I mean, surely whenever Chelsea lose, when Arsenal lose, I'm sure one of you are on top of each other.
No, my father's on his vuvuzela as soon as he wins. But then as soon as Chelsea win, I just hit the chant. Like, Chelsea.
Niall, I actually haven't seen you for the longest time. The last time I saw you was at that tournament that I was playing in there. Was it in Chatsworth?
I think so. Yes. The tournament I tried to organize, but yo, that is another story.
You know what? I've never been so frustrated like I was in that tournament. Like, because I just knew who the goalkeeper was, and what happened was he basically called me to play, and my other friend was quite good. So I knew if I have him, we could, you know, we could play, we could handle, we'd be okay.
And then imagine the admin side of it, boss. It was hectic, just dealing with people you don't know.
Yeah.
And you don't want to pay, and you fight the people, and they came, dude. But you played well that night, anyway.
They were
the star of your team, I guess.
Thanks, man. There were so many times where, like, I felt like if I didn't score, that we just weren't going to make it. We weren't going to get through games.
And we were sitting and watching you guys on top. The team was tired. The other team was just, they just knew each other. Those five boys just knew each other. They just knew everything about each other.
I actually felt like how Christian Pulisic feels now at Chelsea.
I knew it's going there. I just knew you guys. I knew you were going to do something. the kid is doing well, I must say. He's taking up the mantle that Hazard left for him. And yeah, that's it. I think that is the whole gist of it. With William leaving, they got to prove themselves now, all of them. Somebody has to step up to the camp of the club.
Lal, speak to me about how you feel about Frank Lampard's appointments and how he's done in the past year. I know things have been... I can't call it inconsistent, because the reality is that I think it's his first year at the football club, and we all don't want to be too harsh on Frank Lampard's first year. Tell me, as a Chelsea fan, are you encouraged by what you've seen from Frank Lampard so far?
As a Chelsea fan for many years, you understand who Lampard is, firstly, because I think, okay, let's start, let's go way back, right? There was an interview once with him, Messi, and a few other guys that were being Ronaldinho back in the day, the Pepsi ad. I believe he spoke about that. And he was part of that ad. And the guy said, do your signature move. And Lampard, I have no signature move. He had to leave the ad because his signature move is getting results. That's his signature move. He basically just gets results. He's like oatmeal, basically. You just need to have him. And the bottom line is, no matter if you like oatmeal or not, oatmeal is going to sort you out. It's going to keep you stronger.
Yeah.
With the guy's education and stuff, you can see it in the play. And this year, he came in, obviously, we had a ban. And it was, the ban was something so scary, and everything was tumultuous. That's a nice big word, right, at the club. But the problem was this, that we needed someone at the level head. And the only person we could think of, well, we could have gotten, the best person we could have gotten was Frank. And I think that's the bottom line
of
the whole thing.
You sound very encouraged from what I've heard. You know, I think Frank's got a couple of good things that he's done at the football club, if we're being honest. I think let's have a chat about the first point, blending the youth with the experience. Like having to actually bring in the likes of Fikayo Tomori, the likes of Tammy Abraham, the likes of Reece James, and even Mason Mount. And then obviously putting that into one big melting pot now with the experience of Olivier Giroud, who actually wanted to leave in January, of Willian, despite the contract situation, and lastly, Filipe Coentrão, who's been captain of the football club. That's a very good thing, don't you think?
I think it's awesome, but you must also understand, he came in from West Ham and he was not the first choice person for the club. He was definitely not the first. He came in from West Ham, Joe Cole was in his position. And if Joe Cole went down to the left, and then they put SCN. So he had to fight against SCN, then Balak, then the... So he knows that if you want to really do something in life, you've got to fight for it. And he's, I think that's the message being passed down to Mount, being passed down to Tammy, being passed down to Tomori, because they are really fighting for their positions in the club. And those that aren't fighting, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oh, bye.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole... That's the whole justification of his whole management style, is that, yes, the experienced guys there. He left out Alonso, who was scoring goal upon goal under Conte. For how long did he leave him out? For months.
Yeah.
Because he just wasn't performing.
Yeah.
Who else wasn't performing that he left out? Giroud. Left out Giroud for months. He played the kid. Because the kid knew his style, knew what he wanted, and he, until the kid wasn't effective enough, he left him out.
Yeah.
The best person for the job takes the position.
Yeah.
And I'm sad to see our best player going to leave. William's going to leave very soon. And I think that's our best player. And I know everybody's going to probably come down to me in the comments and stuff like that, but William is our best player by far. The most consistent player we've ever had. And I'll be sad seeing him go.
I think with Willian, you know exactly what you're going to get the minute he's named in the first 11. I think, like you were saying, with Frank's brave approach to blood youth, and especially to trust them. And I think Frank's come with the approach of, no matter how old you are, if you're good enough, you will play.
Yes. Billy Gilmore.
Oh.
Yo. Fire.
I watched him against Liverpool, and when I saw how he bossed that performance, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Because in my mind, I was saying that Billy Gilmore is coming into this team and maybe we could knock him out of the game because he's a little bit inexperienced. Maybe he won't get a touch. He ran the whole game.
Yes. He ran the game. He's learning from two great, different style people. I mean, Jorginho, I know that everybody hates him in the club and he came in with under this whole Sarri ball nonsense. But the man can play football. He controls games. He controls timing. Puts things in the right place. Then you get Kante, who literally destroys. He's a destroyer. Breaks down everybody's attack because he's just there. Now, if you learn from those two guys, what type of player are you going to come out from that horse?
Yeah.
Think
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
You're going to be great. You have to learn.
We haven't even spoken about someone like the engine in Mateo Kovacic. We haven't even spoken about him. But if we think about it like this, another good point that Frank has done so far in the past year is to bed in the likes of Christian Pulisic. I mean, I think we saw him playing out wide a couple of times where he looked like a bit of a square peg in the round hole. But we've seen in recent times, I mean, he has 10 goals and 10 assists this season. Frank's getting it right with Christian Pulisic. He's getting it right.
And also... It's he, but he also sat bench. He sat bench for a long time. people are kind of, their whole soul, the media talk about Pulisic not good enough, blah blah. It's not that he's not good enough. He was just letting him in, as you said.
Yeah, he's just the man is being accustomed to his demands.
Exactly. He's just doing well. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Think what Frank, you're gonna get a systematic approach that's gonna last 2 years. We had to resort to this because for years we've been going for, okay, let's say after Ranieri, Claudio. All right, we had the special one, which everybody loves and hates at the same time. And he basically scooped off, or he got the success from the foundation that Claudio made, Claudio Ranieri made. Then you get Felipe Scolari came in, and Gus Hiddink, and all these fancy names that walked in the club. And for a long time, we've been this great club that has got such flashy people. And we don't have oatmeal. We don't have our breakfast for the day, the foundation. And that's what he's building. He's building a foundation for the future. If you look at the club in a whole, he's being swept by clubs. It's been the defeat to Sheffield United was shocking.
That was a hard pill to swallow. But if you look at it in context, if you look at Frank's season, so to move on to another good point that's also been good from Frank's side, it's been the amount of smart transfer businesses has happened now. So if you look at the likes of people like Hakim Ziyech that have come in, and now Timo Werner, Chelsea are moving smart. They are moving smart and they're moving fast. People on my podcast have made comments a couple of weeks ago saying stuff like Chelsea are buying the Premier League for next year. But that's not true. Chelsea have a transfer ban. First things first. They're a transfer ban. They didn't spend money. They saved all that cash, plus their revenue, plus the money from Eden Hazard.
And you know what's so shocking is that we're buying it maybe. We don't care about that because we were third, well, we were third in the league for the longest time. And a club that's developing. What more do you need? I know I'm wearing green today, but seriously, my heart bleeds blue because the guy honestly does good smart business. And the smart business comes in where, I don't know where ZH is going to fit in though, I'll be honest with you. I really am trying to fit in my mind, where how you going to have Loftus-Cheek, Barkley, and then you're going to have ZH as well. And then you're going to fit in Kovacic. It's going to be a mad storm in midfield. Timo's got his position. If Tammy does not play, Timo's playing.
It's good to have competition for places, Lyle.
But so much. And then you're going to thinking of putting Havertz.
Willian's leaving. Willian and Pedro. Lyle, those are two holes that you have to fill.
But then that's both on the right-hand side.
Hakim Ziyech can play. Timo Werner can play there.
True. That is true. I'm keeping quiet now. You shut me up. But the truth is, there's going to be so much competition next year. I'm excited. Only thing I'm worried about signings is that fullbacks. We don't have any fullbacks. And I love Alonso. He should be a striker, but I love the guy, right? But it's time for him to go. Please don't persecute me, fans, right? Emerson hasn't proved himself. Don't persecute me.
Yeah.
I think Zuma should play on the right, or Rudiger should play on the right. But Aspilicueta, if he stays one more year, should play in the centre back position.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody else should move around him because he is the club at the moment. He hasn't missed a game. I think he missed 4 games in the past 4 years.
Yeah,
and I think that's amazing.
That's true.
That's amazing.
If we move on to a lot more harder topic to swallow, we look at the bad now of what's been happening under Frank Lampard this year. The amount of inconsistency. So if you're looking at it this way, Chelsea have lost 12 games, which means they've lost 4 more than last season. And only 2 teams have actually lost more than 10 games in the top 10. It's Burnley. So what do you think personally is the reason for the amount of inconsistency amongst Frank Lampard's team?
Being naive. Naivete.
The amount of
we can't close off games. We cannot close games. In the past, we had a guy named Drogba who would literally, for the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes, frustrate opposition fans. He'd sit and stand in the corner with the ball. He doesn't care about if people are not playing the game or not. He would literally stand in the corner with We don't know how to do that yet. Nobody has decided to be that guy, to fall for no reason. Because even though I know I'm not supposed to say this, I'm a purist with football, but Drogba falling would kill time. And I know I know this is dirty tactics for the game. The whole dirty side, the dark arts of
the nasty side.
Yeah, I've lost when Drogba left. Because Drogba would take the mantle of just saying, you know what, guys, I'm going to take this game on my back and I'm gonna carry you through. You're winning 1-0. And how many 1-0s did Mourinho have to win with us? And it's only because of Drogba. And Drogba and that whole spine that we had. Because that 1-2-3-4 would carry us through the game. And we haven't found our spine yet. We don't have a keeper.
And that speaks to my next point, because the next point about that is, what is Frank Lampard's best team? Frank has failed to be consistent with his starting 11 for the longest time. I think if you look at his back three, for example, it's constantly chopped and changed. He can't find the correct partnership. Kurt Zouma's been in there one day. Tony Rudiger's been in there one day. Christensen has been in there one day. The front three as well. So the left.
We got to change Kepa. We have to. I mean, the man has proven he's not interested. I mean, when he went off with last year in that, I think it was a cup game.
Yes.
Last year, he should have left the club after that. Honestly, you got to change the keeper. We have to put Aspilicueta in the back four or back three, but he has to be there. We have to develop a midfielder that's going to take our responsibility for the team. Frank is through that role for Chelsea. He was Mr. Chelsea. We do need a striker. So that spine, that four, 1, 2, 3, and 4 has to be defined. And then we can put in the flagrant flavors and whatever we need. Because the Pulisic will play here and this will fill in. We need that spine. We're a bit like Arsenal at the moment in that we don't have a structure.
Yeah.
And even though our play is great, even though our football is great, we need that person to be a Vieira or be a Tony Adams, using Arsenal as my references, because those people used to hold Arsenal together, like Terry, like Lampard, like Drogba, like Cech. Those four used to be our spine. Liverpool has a spine at the moment. Alisson, Van Dijk, who's in front of him? Henderson, when he plays. And then for Bobby Firmino, he is the spine of the team. No matter what you say, those four people create Liverpool. And everybody else around gets all the plaudits, but those are the workers. Everybody works in Liverpool, and everybody works for that spine to work.
Hey, you just named the spine now. That spine gives the whole team that freedom to express themselves. You're right.
Exactly. Man United do not have a spine because they don't have a midfielder. And they have top quality midfielders. Bruno has decided to be Mr. Man United in his heart until a contract decides to mess him up.
Love. You want your man
causing
to attack you?
I'm causing problems.
You are causing
problems. Come get me.
Yeah, you were saying?
Yeah. Do they have a spine yet? No defenders.
Yeah.
And so now, to find those players, that makes it think like we've teamed. Sorry, yeah?
That's the problem, is because, like, at the same time, I know you guys have made some really good transfers in recent history. I mean, we look at the likes of Hakim Ziyech and Timo Werner. But wouldn't you think, aren't you waiting for Frank to make that one crucial signing, as in someone like a centre-back, like a dominant centre-back?
Who in world football will play? Chiellini's old. I mean, we can't play. Can't buy De Ligt now. De Ligt is clearly gone for Juventus. And
Koulibaly.
Who else in world football? We can get him from Napoli, but everybody wants his signature. That guy's gonna go for the highest bidder.
But you have to remember, Lau, especially now with the current financial climate now in COVID, no one's willing to spend the money to get Koulibaly, but Chelsea are, because if they want to spend £90 million on someone like Kai Havertz, who they don't need right now, reinvest that money elsewhere.
That's one, but if we buy him, though, this is Chelsea's business plan. And this is what conflicts what we're saying. So Chelsea's business plan is to go young and sell late for double the money. That is their business plan. That's hence why we got loanies around the world. That's their business plan. Was as much as we are frustrated with the fact that we had Van Ginkel, who played, who maybe became captain of PSV, right? He's a Chelsea player. We have players that are so good, so much so that when they got to the club again, they left. Kevin De Bruyne, Mohamed Salah, now he's making us pay, right? But like, these are the things that happened because we have so much. But our business plan conflicts our style. And I think this guy, Lampard's marriage between the two, that's what he has to do. So find a way to bring everybody together. All that youth that we have, all that talent that we have, that's his defining role. That is going to be his base. That's going to be his breakfast in the morning. That's going to be his oatmeal. So another guy can come in, maybe it's Harry or whatever, and take the trophies. But that's, we got a plan. Our plan is there.
Yeah.
It's not like Chelsea are failing, though, because every year we picked up a trophy.
Yeah.
Whether it be a Europa League or FA Cup or whatever, is it always a trophy in the cabinet? I looked at the stats just yesterday because I was arguing with Man United people. But our rollover for trophies is every year there's something. He's celebrating at least once. It can be something small or something great, but we are celebrating. So the club is working. Philosophy is there. It's a winning club. Now it just needs the foundation again.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And, yeah.
You're right, Lau. If I move on to a more uglier topic, it's got to be the fact that Frank Lampard has not found a solution to deal with set pieces. He just hasn't. Chelsea seem to have, they've conceded 14 goals from set pieces. 14. 14. That is amongst, I think, the only team that have less than that is Norwich, and they've gone down. That's the only team that have conceded more from set pieces. I mean, since Alexander Arnold has scored two of those, home and away. You know, so what is that down to? Is that down to a lack of leadership? What is that down to?
That's exactly what it's down to. I mean, you had Terry for years. Terry would boss everybody because he was the main hole. And like, after him came Cahill because Cahill learned from him. But then there's been a lack in between the two. Rudiger's been injured for so long. And he comes in now and he's half injured, half playing. Then COVID came, then there's no building. He just needs stability. He has to be the defender of all defenders. He has to be taking us to the next 3 years, 4 years, so Tomori can come through and take over. Or Christensen can decide to finally play football. Because he's a sweeper, not a defender. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love him. He's a top player, but like, he's falling into the David Luiz type spec. You know what I mean? We always had one like that. We've had a Thierry and then a Cavalho. We've had Cahill, and we've had someone that is more fan, David Luiz, next to him. So one that can play football and one that is just, God, I'm the home. You understand? So we don't have that guy yet. So we got a lot of ball players, but no, I don't know if I'm making sense for us.
No, you are. Yeah. You are, like, just a no-nonsense defender. No-nonsense. Exactly. You know,
a yabstam.
Yeah, would you take someone back who's actually a Chelsea, ex-Chelsea player, someone like Nathan Ake?
No.
Why?
I wouldn't. He's the same as Christensen. He plays the same style. Exactly the same. They're all technicians. All of them. Top defenders, but technicians. There's no... I'd rather get the guy, the Koulibaly, that is going to just break legs. I know I shouldn't say that because I sound evil, but like, he's going to break legs, and that's what you want.
I get what you're saying.
No nonsense player. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you actually mentioned David Luiz.
Yeah,
David Luiz. Did Lampard make a mistake by letting him go to Arsenal, or was it a blessing in disguise?
Blessing in disguise. He's passed Arsenal so many goals this season. Oh my God, that guy should play defensive midfielder. Why is he still playing defense? He's slow now. He had pace, but now he's slow. He should play a Pirlo role. That's what he should be playing. Like, I love football so much. I love when he's on the ball, but then decision making. His decision-making cost Chelsea so many goals. That's why we sold him in the first place.
Because his decision making was bad. I mean, he won us the Champions League because he really wanted it. And after he won us the Champions League, he just became a superstar. And then I love the man. I mean, best player in the world. I'll never throw him away because he won us Champions League. But dude, now he's a celebrity. The celebrities that are playing football. You don't need celebrities. Not in Chelsea. No, you can keep them in Man United. Keep them in Liverpool. Keep them everywhere. But like, not Chelsea. We need good footballers. We need people that want to play. People that get into trouble like Mount, that can play during COVID times. You know what I mean? Because that's where you got into trouble. He was playing football. We want people to constantly want to play football and just play football. That's socialites. You don't need that stuff in Chelsea. But that's just my opinion.
No, I get you.
A little so that. Yeah.
I get you. Loud. We get to the fun part of my show. We get to a time where I get to ask you your prediction, because the reality is there is a top four place to play for. You guys are playing Wolves at Stamford Bridge. I think that's a very tough game. I recorded an episode earlier where I actually mentioned that Chelsea are going to win 2-1. I don't know if you agree with me. What's your prediction for this game?
1-0. We'll win 1-0. And it's going to be a tense one. I'm going to bite my fingernails off. It's going to be tense. But we need to win 1-0. And I say 1-0 because we are not scoring at the moment. And there's going to be so much pressure placed on these kids. And it's going to be an old hit to score. William to take it for us. I'm getting you all now. Place your bets. William's going to score this weekend because he always comes through. Right. And then also you do your... You need to defend. You just have to defend. I know Park the Bus is past. It's in Chelsea's past, but it has to come back for this weekend. We need to have a 1-0 victory so we can be outside third and these Man United guys can keep quiet. And Leicester's going to win against Man United. I'm letting you know now. Vardy's going to score the goal, and you're going to have no answers for Tielemans and the rest of them in the midfield. I'm letting you know now. They're going to end up fifth, and it's going to be a sad day on Monday for many people.
That is bold. That is bold. You're actually asking for trouble in my comment section. You are asking for trouble. You are asking for trouble. But
I don't care. I'm going to get sworn. I can see that coming. I'm going to get sworn. But hey, it happens, bro. Vardy's going to score. Vardy has to score. They do a win. They haven't won since the COVID started, since the lockdown ended for them. They have to do a win. It's like you're playing in a slot machine, and then suddenly it's due. It's the final game of the season. And they're going to win it. Man United are hoping for a draw. That's how bad it is.
Here's a funny fact, is that Wolves have actually scored an average of 1.4 goals a game, which means they're guaranteed to score every single game, especially against the Chelsea side that have conceded 54 goals this year. Do you really think that Chelsea are going to keep Wolves out? Adama Traore is going to eat up Marcus Alonso.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. He is. Who else do they have, though? Got Jota, who is...
Diogo Jota.
They have Jota, who's excellent. They have... Who else do they have?
Daniel Podence, the number 10 boy.
And the left hand, he's fire as well. Our fullbacks should be changed. We have to put 6 at the back. I know it sounds negative, but we're going to score and we have to defend. We can. I'm praying Mr. Breaker of games, Mr. Breaker of attacks is playing this weekend. I hope he's back to full fitness. Honestly, Mr. N'Golo, that guy. He has to be back, right? Him, if he doesn't come back, Kovacic has to play in his position, but Jorginho cannot play defensive midfielder. He's a top passer. He should play up front attacking and spread the ball like Fabregas did, but the whole defensive role should be taken by the youngsters that can actually... Billy should play. I think Billy should play. I think Kovacic should play. I think the midfield should be set with defensive holes that don't go forward. And their role, and put on, what's this guy's name? Put on Mount if they want someone to pass the ball up and left and right. Because Mount does go back in tracks. Mount plays football. He's a Frank Lampard in the making. And Frank used to do a role, and Mount will do a role. What am I saying? Strikers wise, we do need Pulisic up front, but we need them like this, a striker, whoever it is, and Pulisic behind, and 3 and 5. super defending on the weekend, and with a Pulisic, hopefully Pulisic will come through and he'll carry us across the line, like Hazard used to do. And I hope this kid can take the pressure, because Ziyech is only coming in next year.
Yeah, you know what?
Loftus is only coming in next year. Yeah.
It's a very bold prediction that you make, and I'm very happy that you are so confident in your team. I actually was.
I love my team, boss.
Chelsea myself, where I said they're going to win 2-1. I do think they will concede, but I think they are going to win that game against Wolves. So you say United are not going to be in the top four this year?
I think they're playing Europa League football next year again. That's what I think. I'm just the guy that has an opinion. Please don't kill me. And no one knows where I stay, so it's okay.
Don't even stress. If anybody wants to question your comments, they'll come through me to basically schedule a debate with you, and we can have that at a later stage. But for now, thank you.
Definitely.
I appreciate that so much, Lyle.
Thank you kindly, sir, for having me. Thank you, Dugout listeners. Just keep listening. This guy knows what he's talking about. Keep. I love it. I don't know what else to say. How do you sign off things? I don't know. Bye-bye. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Have the best week. It's your boy, Ryan Leaf, on the Dugout Podcast. You can find me on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to podcasts. The audio will be on the podcast, so don't stress. And thank you all for tuning in. I'll see you guys soon. Have the best week. Cheers, Lyle.
Thank you.